That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again. Believe it or not, this Robert Morris Basketball Podcast has made it to its fourth episode. I'm Logan Carney, here with Luke Yost and Matt Kurtick. The great Robert Morris Basketball
Every time.
Podcast that is the Toll Shed. So guys, it's been 4 weeks now of us sitting here in this room on campus talking about Robert Morris Basketball, a team that only averages about 800 people a game, if that. Was just, you know, what has been your impressions of the show so far?
I mean, I guess we can't say anything bad about it. I kind of like my job here, but I'm content. I'm good. Matt, what do you got?
I'm having fun. I'm having fun out here.
That's all you can do. Have fun.
I'm just having fun out here.
That's great. That's exactly right. We are having fun out here. And welcome again, ladies and gentlemen, to the Toll Shed. I'm Lynn Carney here with Matt Kurtick and Luke Yost.
I went first. I'm kind of set.
Why are you upset?
Because I always go second. I understand. It's like
your last name is order. Yost. It starts with a Y.
I know.
I'm Logan Carney here with Luke Yost and Matt Kurtick.
I'm upset about that now.
Well, you know what? Even for us, second all week. Or all month. We've been here for a month now. It's a long time.
Well, guys, you know what actually is going to be coming first? We're going to be breaking down this weekend's games. And these weekend's games have not been, you know, that great for the Colonials. I mean, they came out of this weekend 0-2. It's the first time all conference, actually the second time conference season, I believe, that they've come out with a two-game losses and no wins, one of them to a team that they a team that is significantly less talented than them, Fairleigh Dickinson.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So why don't we start with the first game of the weekend for Robert Morris, which was the Mount St. Mary's game, a game that very important conference standings. There are two teams that are close to each other. I believe they're tied in conference,
They were tied after the game.
They're tied after the game. We were ahead of them.
So they're one game behind them now in the NAC conference.
Yeah, RMU is one game behind.
RMU is one game behind them. So, Matt, what are your thoughts from the Mount St. Mary's game? I know you were there. So, what are your thoughts from the game? And really, just what did you see when you broke down the team for the Mount St. Mary's game?
I was there for the first 5 minutes of that game, and I wanted to go home. It was that bad. It was so bad. I have never watched a basketball game.
Why was it bad? What specifically was bad about it?
I'll get there. We got outscored 40-15 in the first half. There was no signs of us coming back in that game. Mount St. Mary's went on a 27-0 run.
Andy to start. To start the game.
Not to start the game, but it was 6-4.
Yeah.
And then it was 33-4.
That's still early in the game.
And I think it was in the first 10 minutes of the game, I was ready to leave.
Yeah.
There was no point of me staying any longer because I wasn't going to see anything out of that game in a positive way.
Now, you did cover it, though, so you were forced to stay. So why don't you tell us about what happened after the game?
Well, Andy Toole, whenever the game's over, we head into – luckily, we're in PPG Paints Arena, so there it's really nice down there. But
got a nice press room.
We head into the press room where the Penguins go, but usually we get one or two players that come in and tell us about the game. Usually they're happy and, you know, stuff like that. No players came out.
They can't be after that.
Yeah.
Nobody's happy after that.
Usually 15, 20 minutes after the game's over, Andy Toole will come in. I was there for about an hour and 15 minutes, and no Andy Toole. No Andy Toole came out. He was still in the locker room talking to his players. That's how bad that game was.
If you could have all the halftime in the world, that halftime would have been at least 2 hours. That talk at halftime would have been 2 hours long.
Oh, yeah.
But you only get 10 minutes. So.
But no, he didn't come out until probably close to almost an hour and 45 minutes after that game.
No doubt.
I left. I didn't even stay for it anymore because roads were getting icy and stuff like that. But I would have loved to hear him say that, all the stuff that he said in person. But
I can only imagine what he had to say in the locker room.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to be a fly on the wall in that locker room because they just got beat bad. But, like, I've heard Toole speak, and he's very animated.
He's
in the way he speaks, and I think it'd be very interesting to see.
He's very unhappy when they win.
Yeah. So he's a generally, like,
he's unhappy. He's one of those guys, you know, we talked about some, you know, we get to interview a lot of coaches around here. Yes. You know, while Toll's, he's one of those guys that's just honest. You know, he's not rude like some of the coaches that we may, and players we may interview, and some of the stats may interview. He's not rude. He doesn't come off as, he doesn't have, you know, a sort of, you know, arrogance about him like some other people might. But he is just honest with his team and always gives great answers. When his team's bad, he will admit that they're bad, and he will be, you know, like you said, not animated. Because when you think of the word animated, I think of like swearing, screaming.
Animated was the word I was going for.
He's hilarious. Because he's so honest with the team. I remember the one game, it was their first loss of the year, first conference loss of the year to St. Francis. And the game was very important. You know, at that time, it was to decide who was going to be first in the conference, you know, at that time period. And he came out, and the team played bad defense, and they lost 89-80. And he came out and goes, yeah, it's like I walk into the locker room and there's all these people just sitting around there. And I'm like, what are you guys upset about? What are you guys sitting there? He scored 80 points. Isn't that what you wanted? You know? But I guess, you know, playing defense isn't cool anymore. It's not what gets the ladies or anything like that. It's not what gets the chicks. It's not cool anymore to play defense. These guys lost. He scored 80 points, though. But congratulations. You put up 80 points. You got great offense.
He couldn't say that stuff about the Mount St. Mary's game. We shot 9% from three in the first half and 14% overall. So he had none of those talks after this game at Mount St. Mary's. But
we've talked about, you know, they've been scoring more points than they have had in years past, but their shooting percentages are just not great.
We are the worst team in terms of shooting percentage in the NEC. We are worse than Bryant, and Bryant has not won. They've lost 8 straight and are 1-11.
2-23 overall.
In a conference, and 2-23. So a team that's 2-23
shoots better
and 1-11.
And their scoring offense of these last stretches has fallen from number 2 to number 6 over their last, I believe, 6 games. Couple of weeks, they're about 3 weeks since we started the show. Since we started the show,
they've gone
4 weeks ago. They've
went
from number 2, they're now number 6 in conference. There's only 10 teams in conference, and the NEC is not a great conference by any means.
No, not by any means at all.
So they are struggling, but you know, we talk about like such negative. Yes, they've lost 3 in a row. They're still 7-5. You know, they're still tied for third in the conference with three other teams, both St. Francis's and LIU Brooklyn. They're only behind Mount St. Mary's and Wagner. Granted, Wagner is the only team that has clinched a berth in the playoffs. Wagner is essentially,
they're steamrolling everybody.
If Wagner wins, then they knock out St. Francis, Robert Morris, LIU Brooklyn, and St. Francis Brooklyn from winning the NEC. Wagner just needs to win one more game to knock those teams out from the chance of winning number 1. And Mount St. Mary's, they just need to win two more games to do that, to clinch the 1 seed in the NEC playoffs.
How many teams make it?
Six.
Okay.
But Warmore's going to make it.
I know Bryant's not. So that's all I know. And Wagner
Bryant's
is.
Out, and Wagner definitely is.
Sacred Heart's fighting for their lives right now. But, I mean, like you said before, you shoot 17 for 57 from the field in the Mount St. Mary's game. You're not going to beat too many teams in any conference.
If you get down 40-15 at halftime,
it's two different teams. Like, the second half, it was 27-27.
You know, I think that
is if you don't get blown out 40-15 in the first half,
that has sadly been a theme.
You
got to
play
have,
two halves of basketball. It's always been a two-half game. You've got to play it all.
That has been a theme that we have seen really all year with Robert Morris, is that they've played. It's not that they don't have the talent. It's not that they haven't shot well. I mean, they haven't shot well, but it's not so much that. It's the fact that they've been two different teams in both halves. You know, I think back to the St. Francis game. They shot poorly in the first half. They outscored them in the second. The Wagner game, they shot 60% in the first half from the three-point line. They shot 18% overall in the second half. You look at this Mount St. Mary's game, 40-15 in the first half, 27-27 in the second. Now, Robert Morris is they're a great team, but they've been so inconsistent in the games that they've lost this year. The games that they've won, they've been consistent. And that's the big difference from this team. Is when they're consistent, they can beat anyone. The problem is they haven't been consistent for five games in conference right now, and that's why they sit with five losses.
Yeah, I mean, 19 turnovers, Mount St. Mary's game. We've been turning the ball over a lot lately, too, and that doesn't really help, especially
when they're not crisp anymore. Like, they're not as, it was not as sharp as they have been in the past, and that's really what gets them in trouble, is that if you're not, you know, sharp with shooting the ball, a lot of guys are going to start taking, you know, trying to do a little too much. They just calm down, do your job, work the ball, move the ball, score.
Yeah, Kobe Thomas, five turnovers in the Mount St. Mary's game.
It's ridiculous.
I think Chris Kuhlman leads. I mean, this isn't a real statistic, but I think that Chris Kuhlman might lead the entire NCAA in turnovers in terms of traveling and getting a turnover called on you. Chris Kuhlman, yeah. I think every game I've seen him get a traveling turnover. And he did that probably two or three times in the Mount St. Mary's game.
Some guys just have happy feet.
Yeah.
I mean, even again, you look at, you know, moving on to the Fairleigh Dickinson game, which, you know, a team that Robert Morris should have beat. You look at the numbers in the first and second half. Robert Morris, 41 points to 36 in the second. They outscored them. In the first, they were outscored 37 to 26. Robert Morris also didn't lead past 2-0 in that game. And they only tied the score out twice, 7-7 and I believe 13-13 were the only times. I'm sorry, 2-0 and 7-7. And then later, I believe it was 13-13 were the only times that the score was tied. So three times the entire game, all of them within like the first 5 minutes of the first half. So Robert Morris, it's not that they don't have the ability. It's not that they don't have the talent, because they are loaded with talent. They have a lot of talent. Deshaun Burke, you know, they got Kobe Thomas, Leandre Washington, Matty McConnell. There's a lot of talent on this
John
team.
John Williams, though. He's a good player.
Yeah, John Williams. I mean, there's a lot of talent on this team. They've just been inconsistent. And I think that's the biggest thing moving forward. So, Matt, my question to you is, what do you blame the inconsistency on? Do you think it's coaching? Do you think it's leadership? Do you think it's the youth of the team? What do you think the inconsistency is, and how do you think Robert Morris goes about fixing that? Because that is something that Toll has talked about a lot this year, is the inconsistency of the team from first to second, is that they need to play two halves of basketball.
It's a lot of different stuff. I mean, Andy Toll, we can blame it on the players as much as we want, but Mount St. Mary's wanted an 8-0 run. Andy Toole called a timeout, and then they went on another how many?
19 points after.
Yeah, that. And he didn't call another timeout. So why aren't you calling another timeout? Why are you letting your team go 27 straight points without getting one? But it's the players too. You got to make shots. You can't turn the ball over. Andy Toole can't hold their hand as they try to face a full court press.
Keep in mind, this is a team with two juniors and no seniors on their roster.
Mostly freshmen, sophomores.
Mostly freshmen.
Well, we got
sophomores.
Ronnie Gumbe as a graduate. I guess that's not a senior.
Yeah, graduate. Yeah, Ronnie Gumbe. Yeah, too. But he also didn't play. You know, he's also a new player too.
What's promising is that we outscored Fairleigh Dickinson by 5 points in the second half. Because since the Wagner game, we've seen straight halves that this team has played where it's looked absolutely hideous. Wagner blew us out in the second half in that game that we played against them at home. And then I'd say the two halves, even though we still scored 27 points. We tied Mount St. Mary's with 27 points in the second half. We got outplayed in that half, too. So that was 1, 2, 3, 4 in the Fairleigh Dickinson game halves in which we were completely awful. So us outscoring a team by 5 points in the second half is promising, and hopefully they can continue that stretch where they're outscoring opponents. That's how you win basketball games. You outscore opponents. Hopefully they can keep that up.
Score more points than the other team. That's how we're going to win.
If you're looking at why we're losing, we are not scoring more points than the other team, and that is why we are losing. Yes.
Wow.
That's
it. Shooting, Captain Obvious.
That is an analysis.
Well, I mean,
right there.
Like, I'm going to agree with him. It's going to sound really obvious. You say Captain Obvious, but like, if you're not making shots, it's hard to win games.
You're not going
to
win.
You can't. It's impossible. You can't win.
Yeah.
You got to score to win.
You talk about our defense all you want, but you got to score points.
You can have the best team in the country. If you can't make a shot, then it's all worth it.
You can't shoot worse than Bryant, and it's bet to win any games in the NEC. Because they don't. They don't win any games in the NEC. So.
It's a head-scratcher.
Luke, what about you? How do you think you fix the inconsistency? What do you think the problem is? What would you do? If you were Coach Toll, what would you be saying to your team to fix the inconsistencies? What would you be working on?
I'm just going to say I'm lucky I'm not Coach Toole. I'm happy that I'm not Coach Toole because I don't even know what his answer would be to that question. I think he's tried to shake it up a little bit with the guys on the floor. It still hasn't worked out. I mean, if you look at the like look at Fairleigh Dickinson when they played Fairleigh Dickinson, you had guys that were shooting the ball well. Charles Bain was shooting; he was 6 for 8. You know, Thomas was 6 for 13. Then you have a guy like Andre Washington who's 0 for 6. You know, Matty McConnell's 2 for 8. John Williams.
That's another 2 for 7. Thing with the team, is that they've had.
They got to find the hot hand more.
They have really four. They have four players that you can see that are like premier talents. That are really, really great
four?
Players. I would say four. Matty McConnell.
That's a stretch.
Strong defense, phenomenal defense, great
okay.
leader.
Okay.
When he gets hot, he can get hot.
Okay.
He's had multiple 20. He's had multiple 20-point games this year too in his career. Kobe Thomas, phenomenal rebounder, phenomenal inside scorer. Can't shoot very well. He hasn't shot very well from the field this year. But as far as inside scoring goes, he's one of the best in the NEC. Deshaun Burke has probably arguably been their best player all year. I don't think anybody would dispute that.
We knew that.
And then LeAndre Washington has been on a tear lately up until the game where he went 0 for 6. He came into that game scoring 10 points in 7 of his last 8 games and coming off a game where he scored over 20 points.
Yeah.
You got to put John Williams in that too if you're me though. Because John Williams shoots the best from 3-point.
John Williams is a subtle,
and he's
subtly probably one of the better players.
So you would say that they have five very good players on their team.
They have a strong
five core group of players.
The problem with them is
that when they lose, the big reason is for because two of those players or any number of those players are struggling.
All five have to show up.
All five have to show up in order to play.
At least four. Back
to the Wagner game. Deshaun Burke got into foul trouble in the first half. Only played, I believe, 19 minutes in the entire game.
Which one?
Wagner. The Wagner loss.
He was in foul trouble.
Yeah, and then Kobe Thomas had, I believe, 2 points at the end of the game. He still had 8 rebounds, but as far as scoring goes, you know, you can't win whenever he puts up 2 points. Meanwhile, LeAndre Washington and Matty McConnell are two of the best games of their entire career. So it's just you look at these numbers and you think when all of their players are performing, they're a great team. They can't be beat. They're one of the best teams in the NEC. They're a phenomenal basketball team. But they don't know how to handle what happens if two of these guys do it. They don't have a bench player that steps up. I mean, they had one game where Ronnie Gombe played phenomenal. That was the win against 3-4 Wagner. Sacred Heart, I believe. Ronnie Gombe played phenomenal, had about 9 rebounds, 6 points, played really, really great off the bench and was just a terror. But, you know, he still struggled. The team still struggled. I think they won that game. But the team still struggled. They couldn't put out Sacred Heart, even though they're a much better team than Sacred Heart. Robert Morris needs to figure out how they can get these guys to be consistent. They need to figure out how to get their star players to be consistent, how they get their great players to be consistent. And they can win the NEC. They're a young team, but they can still win the NEC. They still have enough talent to match up with the other guys. It's just that they haven't been consistent shooting. They haven't been consistent offensively. Their star players have been inconsistent. And they don't have a great game plan to figure as amazing of a coach that Andy Toole is. They've had the trouble time developing a good game plan when two of their best players go out because they're struggling or they're hurt or in foul trouble or whatever. Because McConnell also missed the Mount St. Mary's game with a concussion.
Yeah.
And they lost by 15, I believe, 62-47. Mm-hmm. 67-42. I meant 67-42.
Could have been a lot worse.
You know, and McConnell was out with concussion.
Yeah.
So it's just they've been struggling without their best players.
Yeah, I mean, I would say like Pitt basketball in their prime when they were the number one team in the nation, they had five players on their team that every game you knew they were going to go out and score at least 10 points a game.
They didn't. They had guys on their bench that would come in and play
really well. You need
five players that will consistently play well for you that you can't worry about them having a bad game because even their bad game, they'll still get you a W no matter what. And I agree. You need to make sure that your star players, your great players, are consistently playing well every game. You can't, and if one of them doesn't play well, it happens. Every player has a bad game, but to consistently have bad games.
You gotta rely on your other good players to pick them up and take some of the load.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Andy Toole, you know, you dropped a bunch of these games, you're probably not going to win the the NEC just outright in the regular season. And I think you have to understand that and play the rest of the season. You just try to win some games so that you're playing a couple games at home in the postseason. And you just got to worry about winning the conference tournament.
The only way that they can win the regular season is if they win out.
And Wagner
loses out. Mount St. Mary's loses two more games than them.
Well,
and all the teams they tied out lose. It's mathematically.
It's not gonna happen.
It's mathematically like 99% impossible.
That's what I'm saying. I think Andy Tool needs to understand, and I think he does now. I don't think it hit him until they lost this game to Fairleigh Dickinson. But you can only hope to win the postseason conference tournament to get into the NCAA tournament. But you just got to play well and go into the postseason riding a nice streak. And that's all you can hope for. You're going to play a couple more teams that aren't that great. You still have to play.
You have the schedule to go and be able to compete and play teams that you should beat. You have, you know, St. Francis, Brooklyn, LIU, Brooklyn, Bryant, CCSU, and then it's going to really.
Well, there's three games on this that are just going to be really, you know, difficult and very important. They got against Mount St. Mary's, they got against St. Francis,
there's the last and St.
Francis, Brooklyn. Those three games, and it's three out of five games. The schedule coming up is important. It's going to be a little bit more difficult than I think you're giving their opponents credit, Luke, because, you know, two of those teams they're tied with, and the other one's right ahead of them. So these three games can, you know, if they need to win those three games to get a, you know, they still have a chance to get the two seed. If they win out, they get the two seed.
Well, yeah, yeah.
So they need to, and they got three games against three tough opponents that are incredibly important. You need to win that LIU Brooklyn and that Bryant game cannot be a repeat of the Fairleigh Dickinson game. You need to win those games.
You need to go in there
and dominate. St. Francis Brooklyn this weekend, extremely important because you need to end that. You don't want to keep losing. You don't want to end on a losing streak. You've lost the past three games. I don't think they're going to lose. They're not a team that's, I mean, looking at their schedule, their longest losing streak, I believe, was three games, and that was to start the year.
They've dropped.
They've had three-game losing streaks. This is the first one that's happened in conference play. They had a three-game losing streak against Ohio State, Grand Canyon, and San Diego. Granted, one of them was at Ohio State. The other two were in the Grand Canyon Classic, and then they had another three-game losing streak where they lost to Buffalo, NC State, and Canisius. Obviously, NC State's in the ACC. Ohio State's in the Big Ten. Those are two schools that you shouldn't expect Robert Morris to compete with, even though they did play really good in the NC State game. They lost by 12, but they were leading at halftime. So, really good game against NC State.
Two halves.
So, they've tied their season-long losing streak.
Yes.
Why don't we get into our previews of this week's games? They got two. They got St. Francis Brooklyn on Thursday, and they got LIU Brooklyn on Saturday. So start with St. Francis Brooklyn as they do their Brooklyn away streak. Matt, what are your thoughts on St. Francis Brooklyn? What do you think Robert Morris needs to do to beat them? Do you think Robert Morris will beat them? What are your thoughts of this upcoming game?
I really want to say they're going to beat them, but they've just worried me lately. I think we have a lot of young guys on our team that probably have never lost this many games in a season before because they're usually the best players on their high school team, and their high school teams are good because of that. So that worries me, the fact that we keep losing and dropping games. That isn't promising. But I think we are a better team than St. Francis Brooklyn. Last time we played them at home, it was a shootout. It was the one that went into overtime when we were up by, I think, 5 or 6 points with 30 seconds left or something. And they made a shot at the buzzer. And Matty McConnell made a layup with an and-one or something. Crazy. And that was at home.
We won by a point.
Yeah. So, and that worries me because that was at home, and now we have to go out to St. Francis in Brooklyn. So I'm going to say we're going to get the W because I have faith in our team, but
at the same time, you can see it going the opposite way.
Yeah, I can see them dropping these two games real easily because of just the way they've been playing lately. And LIU Brooklyn and St. Francis Brooklyn are two teams that you can't just overlook. They're both 7-5 in the NEC conference like we are. And LIU Brooklyn's coming into a three-game winning streak right now. So
yeah, they got four teams that they're tied with them or above them in the NEC standings, and they're only in third. So yeah. This might be the most important stretch of the season for Robert Morris.
The most important stretch of the season.
So, Luke,
yes.
Why don't you break down, you know, what your thoughts are in the St. Francis-Brooklyn game? What do you think Ron Morris needs to do to beat them? What do you think the final is going to be? What do you think if they're going to win? And what do you think they're going to have to do to really get that momentum back?
If they're going to beat St. Francis-Brooklyn, I think they have to play well. I mean, obviously.
There we go, Captain Obvious.
Thank you.
Well, coming from the guy that was like, oh, the game plan is to score more points.
That's why I'm making fun of him now. I'm understanding.
You know what, Matt? You're muted.
Oh, all right. I think the roles have to change a little bit. You know, LeAndre Washington shot 0 for 6 against Fairleigh Dickinson. Not good. Not great. He's got to be able to find ways to help with it. Like, he's got to be able to find his assists, find open guys for be able to score. That's really what's going to change this team, is they have to change the roles on the team. If your scorer's not scoring, you got to find a way to score. But, yeah, I think if they're going to beat St. Francis-Brooklyn, it's going to be close. It'll probably be something like the last one, except it would probably be like 72-68. Rob Morris over St. Francis.
All right, Matt, I'm going to unmute you for a second. As you know, you break down what you think the next game is going to be in LAU, Brooklyn. What are your thoughts? Who do you think is going to win? What do you think Robert Morris needs to do to win that game?
They have to play well to beat them. They haven't been playing well at all. We can beat these teams. I have no doubt that we can beat these teams. We got to make shots. We have to shoot over 40% from the field. We haven't been doing that. So if we can get back to what we were doing the first couple games of the season in the NEC, just scoring a lot of points and playing good defense, then we're going to win these games. But if we keep playing like we have, then we are not going to win these games.
Luke, your thoughts on the LAU Brooklyn?
I pretty much agree with Matt. That was very well worded. but, yeah, I think you have to go in there with a mindset that you're going to win. You don't want to compete. You want to win. So if they're gonna beat them, it's going to be another one of those shootout type of games, probably something they had at St. Francis Brooklyn earlier in the year. But I don't even want to try to give a final score on that one. So many different things. They're playing
basketball. Well, guys, we're running out of time here, but before we go, you know, they're tied with three other teams in conference. They're in second, but only a game back at Mount St. Mary's with a game left against them. They're almost mathematically eliminated from the number one seed. Matt,
almost.
Where do you think Rob Morris is going to end up in the NEC standings at the end of the year? Where do you think they'll be out of the 10?
Four.
Fourth? Who do you think is going to be ahead?
Take my answer.
Who's ahead of them? Wagner, Mount St. Mary's, and St. Francis University of PA.
What about you, Luke?
I have them four, but I have Mount St. Mary's and St. Francis fifth.
I think Mount St. Mary's.
You think St. Francis is going to pass Mount St. Mary's?
Yeah. I think it can happen.
All right, what about final records, boys? Final records.
Final records?
Let's see.
These next five games, how do you see them going? They got four games that are going to be tough for them. How do you see them going?
3-2. I think we're going to lose to Mount St. Mary's and St. Francis, PA.
You take my answers. I don't go first. Okay, yeah, I agree with them.
Great minds think alike, Luke.
same way.
Keep taking it? You think he keeps taking it, or you think you're just agreeing with him?
I think he's just agreeing with me because I'm right.
That could be true.
Luke, you are going second here, buddy.
Yeah, I he's taking my answers.
Taking his answers?
Yeah, I'm taking his answers. I'll cheat off him.
All right. How do you guys think they'll fare at the end in the tournament? You think this is a team that can
win
the tournament?
Nobody beats Wagner at home. Wagner's going to dominate.
RMU's going to beat Wagner at home.
RMU beats Wagner at home.
Bold statement.
I think we can do it.
You think we can do it, or are you calling it?
Are you calling it, or are you thinking it? There's a difference.
I'm not calling it, but I think we can do it.
Would you put money on it? Would you put $50 on it?
No.
Absolutely not.
I would just like to point out that this show is not endorsed
gambling.
Wow.
All right. Well, this has been a great episode. Our fourth episode of the Toll Shed. We'll be back for another week, guys, ladies and gentlemen, as we're not going anywhere. We're coming in the end of the season. Five games going down. Rob Morris is entering their toughest stretch. I'd like to thank you all again for joining us. I'm Logan Carney. Once again with Matt Kurtick and Luke Yost. Thank you for all for joining us. This has been The Tool Shed.
I go. Face. Watch me. Deal. 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 Summer.